I am so blessed to get to come up here this morning as we started doing the praise and worship music. And like I say all the time, we have no idea. She definitely has no idea what I'm thinking. But I don't know what Stephanie's thinking either as far as music. And the scripture picked out this morning, it's not the same scripture that I'm going to preach out of. But it basically shared the same thoughts. And so we're going to be in Luke chapter 17 this morning, so if you want to go ahead and turn there. And it wasn't in your bulletin this morning like normal, because this was not a normal week. And so I was not, did not know exactly, probably until last night about 11 o'clock, which of two sermons that I was going to share this morning. But we are going to be in a very familiar sermon passage. It's Luke 17, starting in verse 11, with the cleansing of the 10 lepers. And this is normally your Thanksgiving passage sermon because of what takes place. But as I'm studying it this week, I've got to be honest with you, I ended up getting there for the right reason, but through the wrong reasons. Because I had in my mind what I felt like I wanted to share. And as I begin to study and as I begin to think about it and pray about it, I realized I was in the right place, but for the wrong reason. You ever been there? You ever done that? This morning, I come with the question, and it may sound strange, but why do people attend church? Why, and not just why do you attend church, but why do you attend this church, or why does somebody attend a certain church? And then on that same type of a question, why do people stop attending one church and go to another church when they've attended one for a while? Those are questions that sometimes drive pastors nuts. But since it wasn't a very long drive for me, God brought this up. Not for me to aim at you, so don't take this wrong. But this was for me. And so as I looked at these passages, I began to say, and you know I've always told people, I've told visitors when they come, if this is not the right church for you, you need to go somewhere else. And I know some of you are thinking, my pastor's telling people to go somewhere else. No, I'm telling people that you need to go where you're fed, where you're challenged, encouraged, and changed. And if that's not here, then God has that place for you out there. And so, as I share that, that's my reason, that's my understanding, because it's not about me, and it's not about First Southern Baptist Stockton. It's about you and a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. You need to be somewhere to where that relationship with Him is enhanced. One of my favorite songs is Just a Closer Walk with Thee. If you can't get that here, then go somewhere you can. Now, I'm not trying to run anybody off. I know that's what it sounds like. It sounds a little weird. But I say all of that because God laid that on my heart this week. Because I think we allow people to affect our worship. People don't want to come to this church or that church. Maybe it's too big. Maybe it's too small. Maybe it's the wrong kind of music. Maybe it's pews versus chairs. We allow situations to affect people on where we're going to go to church, how we're going to worship. And when we do that, we make it about us. Or there's too many hypocrites in First Southern Baptist Stockton. Yep, here's one. Anybody that's not perfect is a hypocrite. A hypocrite was someone that was trying to be covering up for something that he wasn't. I am not perfect. You are not perfect. And if you're trying to convince yourself that you are, if you're trying to live the life that somebody's going to accuse you of being a hypocrite. But that's okay. Because this church is for broken people. When we have a problem, that's the reason Jesus went to the cross. We come here to study His Word. We come here to hear what He has to say to us so that we can become more like He wants us to. That process of sanctification of from the day I accepted Christ to become better and more like Jesus, that's a process that will never be finished until I stand before the throne of God. There's nothing that's going to get me to that point on this side of heaven. I say all of that to dive into this scripture. So if you'd read along with me, starting in verse 11 of chapter 17 of Luke. It says, "Now it happened as he went to Jerusalem that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. Then as he entered a certain village, there met him 10 men who were lepers, who stood afar off. And they lifted up their voices and said, 'Jesus, Master, have mercy on us.' And when he saw them, he said to them, 'Go, show yourself to the priests.' And so it was that as they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, returned, and with a loud voice glorified God, and fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. So Jesus answered and said, 'Were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? Were there not any found who returned to give glory except this foreigner?' And he said to him, 'Arise, go your way. Your faith has made you well.'" Let's pray. Father God in heaven, we just come before you. God, we need you. I need you to get through this message. I need you to open my heart and my ears and my life. And I pray that for each of us, so that we'd understand what it is you have for us as individuals. Not as a church, not really even as the body of Christ at this time, but as individuals, God, deal with us. Deal with us in a way that changes us and challenges us. Deal with us on a personal basis. Because, God, that's what I need. I want to be better. I can't be without you. So, Lord, move in this place. Holy Spirit, change us. Mold us and make us after your will. In your name we pray. Amen. It was the custom back then when someone had leprosy, they were outcasts. They were put outside the city. There would be a little encampment outside the city gate, outside the city wall. And that's where the lepers had to stay. And they would have a colony of lepers. And they would be out there. And if someone come walking down the road, they had to, at a distance, stand back and scream, "Unclean, unclean," to warn people. If they did not, if someone walked right up to them and they never warned them, then they would be stoned. Because they did not warn that person that they had leprosy that could be contagious. And so these 10 men were used to that. But in this case, they did not scream from a distance, "Unclean, unclean." They said, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." Now, we know he's in a place here. It tells us his location. He went to Jerusalem. He was on his way to Jerusalem. He's in the midst of Samaria and Galilee. They had tried to kill him, and so he went a roundabout way, and he's working his way back to Jerusalem, and he's in this area where there's Samaritans as well as Jews, and in this case, we have both in this group of 10, he's going to tell us. So they have heard of who Jesus is. That's one thing for them to call somebody Master. Because anybody that they would see above them, they might call Master. And they're lepers. They're the lowest on the totem pole. And so anybody coming from a distance, they might holler, "Master, we're unclean." But they cried out, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." Now, it wasn't to have mercy, send us money. Because they knew he was Jesus. And they had heard about Jesus. From a distance, I'm sure. but they had heard of Him. And then the question that we always have, I had it going into this week, and I'm sure you have the same question. Jesus healed 10 men. Says they told Him, they said, "Have mercy on us." And when He did this miracle different than any other miracle He performed in the Bible. He did everything from speak to people, to rub mud on people, to so many different ways of healing them. But here, He sends them to other religious leaders. And as they go, they're healed. The only place Jesus ever healed in that way. Sending them to another religious leader? When you're the Son of God. But He sends them, and it tells us as they went, they were healed. He didn't heal them at the time. So was it there? I'm going to ask some questions here, and you probably had these same type of questions. I know, like I said, I did. Were these men really healed? I'm talking these other nine. Were they really healed? Because they didn't recognize Jesus at any other point that we know of. Why didn't they return and give thanks to Jesus? Did their leprosy return later on because they didn't come and thank Jesus? Would they come back at a later time? Why didn't they go with this man? So many questions that we stop and we think about these other nine. They were healed by Jesus and they walked away. They asked for mercy from Jesus and then they walked away. Well, maybe they were healed because they were obedient. Jesus said, "Go to the priest. Show them that you've been healed and you'll be pronounced clean. And you can go right back on with your life." Man, the sooner they could get to that priest, the sooner they'd be pronounced clean and would be able to come back into society with their family. So did they really have faith in Jesus? Or were they in this group of people that, well, this Jesus we've heard of told us to do this, so let's do it. And as they do it, they're healed. Well, man, that works pretty good. And so they go on their way and they're healed and they go to the priest and they go back with their family and they go on with society. And I had all of these questions. Why did these nine people get healed? That's not fair. They took the blessing of Jesus and then did nothing with it. They went and spoke to a priest who they thought was higher than Jesus. These were Jews that knew better. We know that because Jesus says, "Where are the rest of them? Only this one stranger, only this one foreigner, only this one Samaritan was the one to come back and give thanks. Where are the ones that knew better?" And I get so caught up on those people that know better. And we allow those people to affect us. Do you think this 10th guy, do you think he had these same questions that I have and maybe that you have? He turns and he starts walking and he probably knows less about the Old Testament Scripture than any of them in the group. But here's this Jesus that I've heard about, and He's telling me to go, and so I'm going to go. And I wonder if he thought, where are the other nine? Am I really doing what's right because nobody else is with me? Am I really doing what's right because they were people of that faith? That's not my faith. Did he have these same questions that you and I have about these other nine and how they could be healed and how they could go on with life and everything would be okay? Well, if he had those questions, he never let it affect his faith. Because as the 10 of them are walking towards the priest, and he sees that he's healed, he turns around and he goes to Jesus. He didn't look back to see if the other 9 were coming. He didn't wait to see. He didn't try to talk them into it. His number one goal, he had a reason for getting back. And that reason was Jesus had cleansed him. Jesus had changed his life. And it didn't matter about those other 9. He went back to Jesus, and we'll get into what he does in just a moment. But the fact that he was changed, cleansed, he wanted to get back as soon as possible. He wasn't going to let how other people's faith, what they were going to do or not do, affect him. And so I wonder how many times that I have let other people, let the other 9, affect me. Do we let them affect us? Well, what if I feel like raising my hands in church and nobody else is going to do it? I better keep my hands down. I don't want to offend somebody. Then I've let that person affect my worship. What if no one at the table has prayed? They've already got their food, and now mine comes. And if I pray, am I not going to make them feel a little uncomfortable? And so I'll just pray with my eyes open. You let that person affect your faith. You let that person affect your worship. What if, like I said earlier, there are hypocrites in that church? I don't want to go there because I know what that person's like. I know what that pastor's like. I read a story on social media here a while back, and I like the story. I'm going to share it because I think it fits. There was a person that came to the pastor and said, "Pastor, I think I'm going to stop attending the church." He said, "I just want to come to you. It's not you. It's not your sermons. It's not your message. Pastor, I'm not comfortable coming to this church because I know how people live outside of the church." And so the pastor says, "Well, I'll tell you what, I'll support your decision if you'll do one thing for me." And he pours this glass of water really close to the top, and he says, "You walk around the church 3 times. Don't spill a drop, and I'll support you." Okay, sounds kind of silly, but I just want your support. So he begins to walk around the church with that glass of water. He walks around once. He walks around twice. He walks around 3 times. He didn't spill a drop. He comes to the pastor and says, "Pastor, I didn't spill a drop." And he said, "Well, while you're still holding that glass, let me ask you why you didn't spill a drop. Were you thinking about this person?" "No, I was thinking about the water glass." "Were you thinking about that person?" "No, I was thinking about the water glass." "Then as long as you will focus on you and your relationship to the living water, you won't have to worry about those other people." Too many times we allow other people to affect our worship because we're focused on them. Your worship is not supposed to be focused on me or anybody else in this place. Your worship is supposed to be focused on Jesus Christ and Him alone. Jesus tells the woman at the well that the Father desires people that will worship Him in spirit and in truth. Now, it's great to have a congregation and a praise group like we have, but the bottom line is if you can't praise and worship God on your own, you will never do it, no matter who is up here. We are to worship and praise God on our own as individuals. We can come together as a group, inclusively worshiping God, But if you can't do it exclusively between you and Him, you will never do it any other way. We allow people to keep us from going to church because they don't act the way we do. I'm letting that person stand between me and God. That's not the way it's supposed to be. I'm supposed to worship Him personally. I'm supposed to do the things that this unnamed stranger did. What can we learn? He was willing to step out and go and glorify God even though nobody else was going to. Because Jesus meant that much to him. What Jesus had done in his life, the way Jesus had changed him, the way Jesus had cleansed him, made enough of a difference. He's going to step out of that group of people that he had been linked with for however long, and he was going to go to Jesus no matter what they said, no matter what they did, he was going to go to Jesus. And if you and I can't do the same thing, then probably those two things haven't happened. Jesus has never cleansed you, and Jesus has never changed you. Because if He's done those two things, you will want to go to Him. And nobody on this earth is going to stop you. Because if I worry more about what they think than I worry about what Jesus thinks, then who am I worshiping? This man went back to glorify God. And you and I are to do the same thing. Well, Pastor, I do try to live glorifying God. I'm not saying you don't. But the one, when he saw he was healed, changed, cleansed, returned, and with a loud voice glorified God. Now, there's a lot of times when I want to glorify God, but it's a whisper. Sitting in the airport, I think it was in Alaska, met a man from Monroe, Louisiana. Sitting there talking to him. After it's over and I get back and I study this message, I was just whispering. I'm guilty. Because what if somebody else hears us talking? Good. This man came back and with a loud voice glorified God. It's not all he done. It's not all we can learn. He fell down on his face at the feet of Jesus. Did you ever hear of Jesus ever going anywhere other than just to pray by himself? No. He always had a crowd around him. He always had the disciples with him. He always had somebody with him. And here comes this leper who had just been cleansed. He doesn't care who's around. He's going to humble himself at the feet of Jesus. Well, I'll humble myself at the feet of Jesus when I'm in my bedroom and I've got the door shut. But don't. Am I really supposed to worship God in the presence of other people? What will they say? You're letting other people hinder your worship. I'm letting other people hinder my worship. If I'm not willing to humble myself and fall on my face at the feet of Jesus, no matter where He's at, no matter when He calls, if I'm not willing to do that, then I'm taking for granted that wafer and that blood. The fact that He challenged and He changed and He cleansed, I'm just walking away. I'm with the other nine. After he fell on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. Well, surely God knows how happy I am, how thankful I am for what He's done. Have you told Him? Well, I'll tell Him tonight when I get in that closed room, when nobody else is around, I'll take my time of worship and I will thank Him for what He's done. Thank Him when it happens. Don't wait. What if He just said, well, I'm going to wait and save you later? When it's more convenient. When I'm not distracted. Thank God the minute you realize He has done something for you. When this man realized that he was cleansed, he didn't walk another quarter mile. Well, should I go? No, it says when he saw that he was cleansed, he returned with a loud voice, glorified God, fell down on his face, and he thanked him. Why do we let people affect our worship to God? I don't know why. But I know if I focus on all my questions of these other nine people, why are they doing this? Why are they doing that? Is that really real in their life? Then I'm not watching the water glass. All this man knew was what God had done for him. And he needed to get back to Jesus. God deserves our worship, our praise, and our thanksgiving continually. You know, there are probably some people sitting out here today that are in that other group of nine. They've heard about Jesus. They maybe even acknowledge Jesus from a distance. You've heard it through songs, you've heard it through sermons, you've heard it through friends and relatives, but you're still at a distance. And you'd really like the mercy of Jesus. But man, the other eight guys aren't going. And I just can't go by myself. Well, those nine never came to Jesus. And they got physical healing because of the grace of God. But this man, Jesus said, your faith has made you well. Unless you have a faith in Jesus Christ, in what He done on the cross when He died in your place, unless you have faith in that, you're still in the group of nine. You may receive some physical blessings. But the eternal, you've been made well, doesn't happen until you come and, like this man, bow down and surrender at the feet of Jesus. That's the only way you can be truly healed. But I know how hard it is to be where you're sitting, because I sat in these pews before I accepted Christ. There may be a couple of them that still have my fingerprints where I had them gripped so tight, because I thought, what are my friends going to say if I walk this aisle and surrender to Jesus? What are my friends going to say if I walk down this aisle and surrender to the ministry of Jesus? What are people going to say if I step out and I decide I'm not going to let anybody hinder me from worshiping my God? People are going to talk, but angels are going to sing. We cannot continue to let people control our worship. Because as long as we do that in here, how are we ever going to affect the world? How is the Jesus in us going to ever change those people that are lost and dying around us? Learn from the unknown stranger. Glorify God. Worship Him and thank Him no matter what anyone says. Come to Him. Bow down before Him. Surrender to Him. And you will have so much to thank Him for. Let's pray. Father, we thank You so much for this day. We thank You for the blessings. Lord, may our focus always and forever be on You. Lord, we lift this time to You. Pray that Your Spirit would be felt, and people would answer. In Your name we pray. Amen.